It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
It is Wednesday, November 13th. It's cold outside. We're getting ready for the Bills and Chiefs. Sunday, 4:25. Biggest game of the week in the NFL. And a week of big games. Some pretty big ones. Steelers, Ravens.
Tomorrow. Eagles and Commanders.
Yeah.
I think the winner of that gets first place in the division.
So it's a big week in the NFL. This were college football, I'd call it something like Separation Saturday. Anyway, can the Chiefs stay undefeated? Can the Bills make the one seed race a race? And we'll check in with Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we start off this chilly morning. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm all right. Let me ask you something. Let's have a little fun with sports fans' psyche, if you'll allow. When you hear someone say, which I heard a caller to the afternoon show say this yesterday, you know, the Bills always beat the Chiefs in the regular season and lose in the playoffs, so I think I might want them to lose this game to flip the script.
I've heard that. That's out there.
Whether that's superstition or half-kidding, you know, what do you make of that general conversation? That I think at tailgates on Sunday, there's going to be a lot of people, you know, jokingly maybe yelling at each other, like, what are you talking about? It's not related. But it is, of course, part of the story that the Bills do frequently win this game.
Well, I think it speaks to two things. Number one, this game is obviously big. It's not super important when you think about it. Yeah, I mean, in the big picture of seeding, of course it is. They're going to win the division. This isn't a game where, over the last few years, you get to this point in the schedule, no matter who you're playing, and you're like, you got to win. Like, there's a bunch of teams fighting for a playoff spot, so you got to win. They're not in that situation. So I think it's a lot easier for any fan to think like that, right? Which is, well, I might want them to lose because the psyche of it. Because your psyche seems more important than the actual standings at this point, to be quite honest with you, right? But the other thing that I think is absolutely true, guys, and I've been thinking about this, is the Bills are kind of in a no-win situation with a lot of the narratives, talking points, whatever, this week when it comes to this game and the Chiefs. Because if they lose, it's, well, see, can't beat the Chiefs. That's just the way it is. If you win, it's, well, so what? Do it in the playoffs. Doesn't matter. I think that's the way a lot of people are looking at this game nationally for the Bills, which is, yes, it'd be great to win. And look, I'm not saying anybody's thinking that in one Bills drive. I think a lot of Bills fans, of course, don't think that way. But I do think a prevailing thought is, you know, basically, to me, you come out of this game either way. If they lose, it's, well, you always lose to the Chiefs. They're not better. See what I told you so. Mm-hmm. And if you win, it's, yeah, well, guess what? It doesn't matter. They do this every year anyway. Go do it when it matters.
That's why I actually, you know, say, like, it kind of, I would have preferred if this game was winner gets the one seed if the Broncos had made that 35-yard field goal. But
me too.
if you need a little extra punch to this game, I think ending any hope that they could have some undefeated season is a little extra something to root for this week.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think that the game has juice. I mean, look at CBS is bringing their whole crew here. Right? I mean, the studio show is coming to Buffalo on top of Nance and Romo and Tracy. Like, they're all going to be here. And this is a monster game for the NFL. And it's the game of the week on Sunday. There's a few really great games this week. You have Steelers-Ravens in the early window. You have this game in the late window. Thursday night, you have Commanders-Eagles. This is a great week for the NFL. And yet, this is maybe the number one game of a great week with some great matchups. That's how big this game is. And yes, it means a lot for that. You know, you win this game, you end an undefeated season. I mean, literally, like, I think the 1972 Dolphins and their fans are cheering for the Bills in this game, right?
I think the 72 Dolphins, by the way, don't they like get together, I think, still and like watch teams to root against them? That happens.
I don't think they do it like that, but there's been times where there used to be they pop champagne, apparently.
Maybe that's Mercury Morris after the fact.
Mercury Morris was a person, I believe he had passed away not too long ago.
Okay.
And because, you know, a lot of those guys are getting older. So I don't know if they do it like that, Joe, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's been quite a while. But I do think that, if you're a Dolphins fan, it's undefeated season. Like, you're like, oh, my God, who's going to beat the Chiefs? It's an NFL storyline. So, yeah, just to go back to your original question, Jeremy, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to say that other than for the psyche to make themselves feel better. Right. I think that's what it is. When you do something like that, it's almost like you're guarding against losing to make yourself feel better in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, you know, I kind of have a little fun with this conversation. Anybody saying the game doesn't mean anything is lying to themselves. Because, you know, it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. They're going to play the train horn on third down. You're going to get mad about a pass interference on Douglas. Yeah. To say it doesn't mean anything, I think, is a lie. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah. Listen, it's going to mean a lot to both fan bases. You want to win. You want to go out there. You want to win. And you're on a national stage. It's not a primetime game, but, you know, this is what these guys do for a living. And, of course, all their peers are watching them. This is a monster game for, you know, everybody who plays in it. And, of course, you look at the standings and, you know, it still means a lot. If you lose this game, you could get passed for seeding as well. You want to make sure you want to have home games in the playoffs. I think that for me, one thing that always happens, and I went through this yesterday a lot on like social media, which is it doesn't matter what you say about how I've been trying to just one of the things I've tried to do since Sunday is try to tell people like, man, like think about what this team, the Bills, was supposed to be from a lot of people months ago. Like, oh my God, reset year, rebuild year. They weren't even favored to win the division. They're 8-2 for the first time in 3 decades. Like, you know how hard it is to be 8-2 in the NFL? Oh my God, appreciate that. This is a great job that this organization's done and to be in this position. And yet, there's still so much pushback from people who just want to tell you, that doesn't matter. They're not that good. They're frauds. And so it doesn't matter, no matter what you want to, wherever you want to put them, there's just a segment of people, whether it's Bills fans or nationally, that nothing's going to matter until you get to January. And I understand that. It does not matter. They could go out and beat the Chiefs 35-10 this game. And there are still going to be a lot of people nationally, fan base, Bills fans. Even Bills fans think this way. I interact with them on a daily basis who will tell you it doesn't matter. It doesn't. When the chips are down, they won't win the Super Bowl. Well, you know what? One team wins the Super Bowl every year. As I tried to explain to somebody yesterday, the Chiefs actually have a 20% chance of winning the Super Bowl this year, odds-wise. They have an 80% chance of not winning it right now, and they're undefeated.
Tell the Bills fans that when they win 35-10, that you want to see the video of them watching the game and not reacting when they say it doesn't matter. Like, I'm sure you didn't cheer the 5 touchdowns. Like, listen, we all know there are bigger games to come, but this one's about as big a game as you get in the regular season. Sal, it's the fifth time since the merger the two 8-win-plus teams have met in Week 11 or earlier. Like, it is a matchup of, I mean, listen, Bengals-Ravens last week on Thursday Night Football, how much does that really matter? The Bengals can still make the playoffs. The Ravens, that division's a race, but of course, like, it mattered to see who was going to win that game. So, you know, as I think about how this game matters, one way for me to really look into it, and I know it's like one stat, and who knows how it ultimately goes, but I had this for Joe. The last 5 times the Bills and Chiefs have played, Allen has run the ball at least 10 times. And that's something he's not doing a lot right now. He did against Indy a little bit, right? That came out a little bit more. And he had just said to Pat McAfee that when he runs, it depends on how his body feels, and that we might see a little more against Indy. Then we did. And going to a bye week, they play the Chiefs, and then they're on a bye. I feel like if you're telling anybody out there the game doesn't matter, I dare you to say that to Josh Allen, because I bet he's going to play like this game matters an awful lot. And I imagine he might go into superhero mode, because that's what he wants to do when playing against the best.
Yeah, it matters to the players. It matters to the coaches. And I will tell you, it matters to the standings. I mean, look, guys, we all know the Chiefs have had some really close games, and give them credit. They're finding ways to win. We know that. You don't get to be 9-0 by accident in the NFL. I don't care who you are. But if the Bills do win this game, as much as I agree with what Joe said, I'd rather that kick go through last week and this be for the one seed. But let's just play it out here. If the Bills do win this game and they go to 9-2 and the Chiefs are 9-1, look, the Chiefs have some, you know, pretty soft games coming up, Carolina, Vegas. But towards the end of the year, they still have to play the Chargers again. You never know what you're getting from the Browns. They have to play the Texans on Christmas week, and then Christmas Day,
Steelers,
and then the Broncos again, who gave them a tough time. My point is, you do have a look at the one seed if you win this game. You don't really if you lose this game. I think then it's okay. Just get that two seed, get that first playoff game at home, make sure you're good, and even a second. You know, if you get the difference is, if you get the two seed, you're guaranteed really two playoff games at home, assuming you win in the first one, which is the first round. You know, so it does matter for that. And you still have a look at catching the Kansas City Chiefs and putting the division away as soon as possible. And look, if you can get to a point late in the year where, okay, the division's wrapped up and maybe you even have a two seed wrapped up, or even if it doesn't matter as much to you to get two or three seed, I think it should. You could also start to think about load management and how all that works. So there's a lot of different things at play when it comes into it. But I think more than anything, you win this game. And, you know, Bulldog and Chauvin Bulldog had a really interesting discussion about this yesterday. Like, Bulldog said, look, like, if you win this game and you have to fight for the one seed, then you're fighting the rest of the year. If you lose this game, maybe even towards the end of the year, it benefits you. He's not saying they should lose. But you can also think about how that might impact how you have to play your guys at the end of the year to give a little bit of rest, right? There's a lot of stuff at play here for each side.
Well, to that point a little bit, we can get to the Barnes from Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes from Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. I know we don't have any updates on that yet, and we will later today. But, Sal, like, thinking about Cooper a little bit for this, maybe Kincaid, like the timing of this Chiefs game and where they are. We're right here talking about like how much meaning there is to this game, how important it is, and how, at least compared to other Chief games of the past, I think it's below. And because you have the bye the next week after, I've wondered, and I'm sure Bills fans have, like, would they be more on the conservative side with Cooper or Kincaid or others because the bye week is coming right after, even though it's the Chiefs?
It's a great question. Matt Bove and I recorded It's Always Game Day in Buffalo yesterday. We had this same discussion, and Matt said, I believe, I don't want to misrepresent Matt, but I believe his position was he doesn't think Dalton Kincaid will play because of what you just said. And I said, no, I don't think that's the case. Maybe he doesn't play, but it would only be because he can't play. Like, to me, if he's able to play, he plays. But I agree, and I did agree with Matt, that if it's 50-50, maybe you err on the side of caution here, right? We already know that Keon Coleman's not going to play. They do have a bye week next week. That will give Keon Coleman a full month off, because he will have two games missed and a bye week. That's 3 weeks. So basically close to a month since the last time he played in a football game. Amari Cooper's in the same boat. Do you go one more week here with Amari Cooper and you give him a full month before he plays? Dalton Kincaid, do you give him a couple weeks? So I do think it's a very interesting question. To me, it would be, if a guy is really borderline, then yeah, Joe, you probably err on the side of, look, we've won with backups before. You don't put him out there to risk himself, because there's still plenty of season to be played. We're just past the halfway point not too long ago, I guess. You know, 10 games. There's still 7 games left for the Buffalo Bills. 8 games left for some other teams. So, yeah, I think that's the way you have to look at it.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Sal, let's get the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for Help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And today we get injury designations and, you know, practice updates. Cooper's the biggest name. Who else are we watching? Kincaid? Cooper Kincaid and who?
I would say just a little bit on Spencer Brown. I think, you know, just judging by what Sean said, he should be okay. He did finish the game. He came back in the game and finished. But he had an ankle injury, and they said that they'll, you know, they'll kind of monitor him throughout the week or whatever the phrasing was that he uses, you know, that he used on Monday. Same thing with Kincaid. That's one I think that's the big one to monitor. I went back and looked, guys. So Dalton Kincaid, he had a brace, like a little brace on his left knee when he came out of the tent. And then he went back in the game. Excuse me. And then he came back in. And then he went back out. I went back and looked. You know when I think he heard it? And I'm not sure. I'm just guessing here. When he dove for the ball that Josh missed him down the sidelines, if you watch that replay, he came down very hard on his left knee. So I'm hoping, okay, let's just hope it's a big bruise or something like that where he just really didn't feel good, you know. But it didn't seem like anything happened on a play. So we'll see, though, where it goes. But, you know, he tried to give it a go. He said he couldn't. He felt like he couldn't protect himself.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make sure that, you know, he was able to do that. And I understand that. So we'll see about that. You know, and obviously we're monitoring, we can't, just so everybody knows, today is a walkthrough. The media will be down there. Sean will speak at 11:45 a.m. today. Then it's a walkthrough. So media is not allowed to go into the walkthrough. We'll go into the field house and we'll talk to players afterwards. But just so everybody knows, that means we can't get any video or pictures of Matt Milano practicing today. We'll have to wait till tomorrow because there won't be any media out there. So I would say the two biggest ones right now are Cooper and Kincaid. But there's obviously a lot of interest in seeing Matt Milano on the practice field.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. Want to get to a call here?
Yeah, sure. Kevin in Tampa Bay. Hey, Kevin. Good morning. You're on with Sal. Hello, Kevin. Nope. No, Kevin. All right, we'll try to go back to him in a minute. What else?
Well, listen, I think I'll start off and just tell you guys what I think about this game is it's a very big X's and O's game, too. Like, I'm just I'm thinking about how I think Andy Reid is so smart. We all know that. He's just a terrific offensive coach. Last year, guys, they ran three tight ends against the Bills in the playoff game, and the Bills just had a very tough time handling it. They big-bodied them. They big-boyed them because the Bills, as we know, are structured to stop the pass, not necessarily stop the run. They're a little bit smaller and athletic and more athletic, and that's fine. But the other part is, and this is the tricky point, I asked Bobby Babich about this on the Zoom call, and the way how do you say, like, hey, do you take Taron Johnson off the field? You can't do that. Taron Johnson is like maybe one of the best players in the National Football League, regardless of position. He's just amazing at what he does. But teams like the Chiefs last year sometimes take advantage of the fact that the Bills run nickel and they have Taron Johnson, who's lighter, and that's why they go heavier. And it hurts the Bills a lot of times. I'm just super interested in the Bills' response this year if the Chiefs want to do that, because that's what they'll probably try to do again, considering they're not throwing the ball down the field all that great. You know, even I will say, though, their running game isn't averaging a ton of yards per carry, but man, they seem like they wear you down and they come at you. And I think that's what's going to happen here again. And I'm really interested in the Bills' response, how you do that. Again, I don't expect Taron Johnson to not play, nothing like that. That's not what I'm saying. But how do you thread that needle of having a team that runs a lot of nickel and has a nickel corner who obviously is great at what he does, but he's lighter, and another team comes in and says, okay, well, as great as he is then, we're going to run the ball at you with a heavier personnel.
Right. Well, Mahomes is running the ball a lot again this year, maybe a little lower than he was last year, but that I feel like that's a good amount of what keeps their rushing yards per carry up, Sal, because Kareem Hunt, who's been getting carries, like I pointed out earlier in the show, that he's got, I think, five games in a row averaging less than 4 yards per carry, but he continues to get the ball because they're still waiting for Pacheco to come back, who, by the way, had his
practice window. Opening his practice window this week. Yeah,
right.
Sorry. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. They are. The other thing is, I did some numbers yesterday. I tweeted them out, guys. Like, the Chiefs' offensive numbers are not overwhelming, but you know what they do? They stay on the field. They do not have a high average, like, play per play average, yards per carry average. But you know what they do have? They lead the league in third down conversions. They convert third downs, and they lead the league in how long a drive goes and how many plays every drive. Like, you just can't get them off the field. And that's how they wind up winning and keeping the ball away from you. And I'm telling you, that's going to be their game plan coming in. Their game plan is going to be, we're going to run the ball and keep that. We're going to get in third and short and convert third downs, and the Bills are going to get frustrated because they can't get on the field. And I'm telling you, I think that's exactly what their game plan is going to be because it's worked for them for nine games.
It's unreal, too, that they've been able to do that. There's some numbers on that, like with the EPA per play, whatever, with Mahomes, that Mahomes is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league this year on first and second down, but he's number two in the league on third down. And he's like number one on fourth down. So they're getting their conversions, which is almost like... Like, what explains that? Are they playing with their food? Are they just trying things out? Are they so confident in that they know that they're going to get the third down, that they're doing stuff more conservatively on first down? It just, man, it kind of goes in the bucket of, I feel like this team doesn't look that good, but, like, what? How can you can keep saying that to your blue in the face, but they keep finding ways to win close games, and maybe that third down point is kind of a part of that.
Shooting off of that, it might even be that, you know, if you're the Chiefs, not to say you're bored, but it's tough to stay at the top and tough to be excellent all the time. Sal, I wonder if we don't see the Chiefs give the Bills their best this week, right? I mean, you've got your division games, you see these teams all the time, you play your opponents here and there, but, Buffalo? All right. Well, it was like send a message once again that, you know, even though they don't really own them in the regular season, like I think they'll get the Chiefs' best.
Yeah, listen, the Chiefs are trying to make history. Obviously, they're trying to win three in a row. That's first and foremost. They came into this year saying we're going to try and win three in a row, and that's why they've made deals at the deadline. And like they're loading up, they're trying to make history. And who would blame them for that? But now they're in a mode where they're trying to go undefeated. I mean, no doubt. I'm sure that's important to them and their organization. If you look at after last week's game, and you know the social media stuff from them, and you know their beat reporters, and like it's a theme now. This is it. Now they're to the point where it's starting to become a possibility. So no doubt, like you're going to get their best every week because they want to go undefeated. They want to do this.
So Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Kevin in Tampa has called back. We'll go back to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead, man.
Yes.
Hey, appreciate you guys. And I always love waking up at 7 a.m. and seeing the Sal Capaccio has joined WGR on my Odyssey app.
Thanks, buddy.
Used to be excited. But yeah, by the way, I think this is definitely, you know, obviously it's like, you know, if we win, can we beat them in the playoffs? But I think we have to beat them one for the world. You know, I live in Tampa. There's a lot of Bills fans down here, but there's also a lot of friends we have that are non-Bills fans, you know, and everybody's just sick of the Chiefs down here. So, you know, we can't see these guys go undefeated. That's one. Two, we're in our home barn. I think we waited years to see the Chiefs back at our home barn. Obviously, didn't go the way we wanted in the playoffs, but we got to prove to ourselves that we can straight whoop their butts in our own barn. Three, you know, we do that, we get to the playoffs, maybe we don't even see these guys. What if they run into the Ravens? You know, and I don't think they beat the Ravens in the playoffs. Who knows? But I think the game that's going to matter for especially McDermott is the playoff game. I think this game is going to be bigger for him than it is for anybody else because everybody looks at Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, but what is they're a product of what Andy Reid and that coaching staff can do. So I think this is going to be huge for McDermott this season with the Chiefs. I'll stop and listen.
Yeah, thanks, the Bills, Kevin. America's team this week, guys?
Sure. Yes. 100%, I think. I think 100% they are. On also, like, you know, the Reid and what we can take away from previous matchups. We were talking about this earlier, Sal. Like, how do you treat the playoff game for this? Like, I almost feel like the playoff game, when you think about what they really were missing on defense, I completely forgot that they didn't have Christian Benford in that game and that Rasul Douglas was banged up because I'm always remembering the linebacker part of it. Mm-hmm. The Bills just didn't have their horses on defense in that game. And I know, like, it almost feels like because there were two playoff games before that they had lost, that gets lost in translation because it's just a part of a theme that they don't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. But, like, I don't know that Reid has in the Chiefs offense has to just have the answers for the Bills defensively. The last time we saw them play each other, the Bills were playing a bunch of backups.
Yeah, and this goes back to the point earlier in discussion about, you know, there's just a lot of fans who doesn't matter, right? You can't be the Chiefs. We've seen them beat the Chiefs. They can. You can't convince me they can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs just because they haven't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. They have beaten the Chiefs. They've gone to their place and beaten them. And especially, right? Yes, I know they lost last year here the one time they played them in the playoffs here, but we've seen the Bills beat the Chiefs. The Bills, they can play defense against them. They have good coaches and good players who are able to line up and do that. You know, it's a different version this year in some positions. It's safety, whatever. No Micah, no Jordan. Guys who've made plays before. But we've seen AJ Epinesa or Von Miller, you know, make plays against this defense. Like, yeah, we've seen that happen, and the Bills can, no doubt about it. I agree. It's again, this game to me is a very big. Sorry about that, guys. It's a very big X's and O's game. Like I said earlier, you know, I think that the caller just mentioned McDermott, and I know as a big picture, he's the head coach, but this is a good. This is a big test for Bobby Babich. Like Bobby Babich calling plays against an Andy Reid offense that you know presents all these challenges. I think is going to be super interesting. It's going to be a fun week because I just think that there are so many. You could at this point, I think these two teams could play this game probably 10 times, and maybe it's 5-5 or 6-4, one way or the other. You just hope the Bills get this one to put it in their side.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Thank you, Sal.
There you got it, guys.
He'll be down at One Bills Drive today. You got Sean McDermott speaking today. Walk through.
All right, buddy.
As the Bills get ready for the Chiefs. 803-0550, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast on the X's and O's. Sal said, X's and O's matchup. Let's talk about those X's and O's. We'll talk about it with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast when we return here on WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's two good teams, number one, and then when you have their history of winning, it brings to me a degree of poise and composure when they're in these, you know, situations that they've been in this year or even last year and through the playoffs. You know, one of the things that we respect and I was impressed by as they went through the playoffs, coming here and then going to Baltimore, both on the road, both in close games, and they were very poised throughout. So it's certainly something that comes with probably winning over the years and winning Super Bowls.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Of course, it is Chiefs week. Jeremy and Joe with you on a chilly Wednesday here. And welcoming in for our Wednesday conversation, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Joe, good morning. Happy Chiefs week.
Hey, good morning. Happy Chiefs week to you as well.
We don't need to spend, you know, a lot of times we'll go look at the game that just happened, but I think this one's a little different, right? Like the Colts game. And whatever. If you have a thought, you can throw it at us. But like, we're on to the Chiefs here. And I guess the question I want to start with is, there's no doubt the Bills can beat the Chiefs. They've done it 3 times in a row at Arrowhead. They've lost in the playoffs to the Chiefs 3 times in a row. Do you see anything different between regular season and postseason matchups? Or is it just sports, coin tosses? That's the way that it goes? It just happens to go a certain way until it doesn't.
Well, if you look at the splits for the Bills' defense against Patrick Mahomes in the regular season versus the playoffs, they're very, very different. The Bills have actually been very good at defending Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. They get a decent amount of pressure. They force him into some bad throws. They get some takeaways. Never happens in the postseason, literally ever. Mahomes has never had a turnover-worthy throw against the Bills in the postseason. They've sacked him three times in three postseason losses. And so they're just not getting the same level of, like, big plays on defense. And I think it starts with their defensive line, and I think part of that has been the Bills' defensive line has been injured in the postseason. Of course, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd with an ankle, Epinesa with the ribs. You know, Rousseau played through a foot deal all of last season. Daquan Jones, whether it was the calf 2 years ago last year, working back from the pec, I think that matters quite a bit. And I think that's what it's rooted in. I think the Bills offensively have been good enough in the postseason against Kansas City. They just can't get stops on defense. And I think it starts with an underperforming effort from their defensive line. And, you know, I hope that the Bills are in a better position to get that again this time. And I don't necessarily mean on Sunday. I mean when they play again in the postseason.
You know, Joe, as you say that about the defense and you hear underperforming defensive line, I would imagine a lot of Bills fans listening would say, is that an underperforming scheme in the playoffs? Do they do things differently in the playoffs? And that's why the results are different.
Well, I think there is a heck of an argument to be made that the Bills could lean into some more aggressive coverage concepts. Now, they blitzed Mahomes quite a bit in the last postseason matchup. But I think how much of that was necessity? The Bills didn't have Benford. They didn't have Milano. They didn't have Bernard, right? Like, I mean, this is crazy. Dane Jackson's out there starting. It was a very shorthanded defense.
Douglas was banged up, too.
Douglas, yeah. I mean, like, and they took him to – what, like 3 points? I mean, how much different is that game if you have two of those players, you know, and much less all of them? I think that matters a ton. But yeah, I think they probably blitz a little bit more out of necessity. But yeah, I think you got to be willing to try to be more aggressive on defense with maybe some more man coverage looks, heat up Mahomes, try to stress their tackles a little bit. Because if you give him time, he's too instinctive. He's too good at creating space. He's got too much chemistry with Kelsey, and he's such a good player in terms of vision and instincts that it's hard to deal with. So how do you speed him up? You know, I think that's what you got to figure out. And if that's playing tighter coverage alignments so that he's forced to work through progressions differently, if that's heating him up with some creative pressure looks, you gotta try kind of the kitchen sink here to get him outside of rhythm. And of course, the X factor here is you got to score points.
How much of that is more attainable this year on the Chiefs, being more aggressive in that nature? I've seen numbers about how Mahomes is taking more sacks than ever. I think his sack rate's like 6% higher than his career high. Obviously, we know about the Chiefs' weapons at this point, but I don't know. Like this version of the Chiefs, are they more? Is it fair to say that you'd have more success doing that now against them than you might have 3 years ago?
I think so, and I think the reason why is they don't have – I know they have Xavier Worthy and Mecole Hardman, but those are very unproven players in terms of being volume components of their offense. For the most part, their primary playmakers in their offense don't really have much speed, right? You're talking Hopkins, Watson, Kelsey, Gray, Smith-Schuster, even Rashee Rice when he's available. He's not, but – they just don't have the same type of speed, and they certainly wanted to have that. They paid Hollywood Brown. They traded up and got Xavier Worthy. They wanted more of a speed element, and so I think you should be more willing to play in the face of these weapons, create jams at the line of scrimmage, and you do have good coverage players that I think can kind of go toe-to-toe in a Benford and a Douglas and a Johnson. Bernard's a really good matchup linebacker. So I think you can lean into that a little bit more with this version of the Chiefs, but obviously there's a risk-reward with that as well. But I do think this supporting cast does invite that a little bit more than maybe where they've been in the past.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast on Bills Chiefs. You know, we're, of course, waiting to see Cooper, Kincaid, the status of those two, no Keon Coleman. If there's one thing I do want to say about this game, you know, I think it matters a lot, and I'm excited for it. I am a little nervous to get a Bills offense that's missing like two or three of its biggest weapons. So when it comes to Cooper, Kincaid, can they get it done with Shakir and Mac Hollins? Hollins had a good game last week. You know, when pressed into duty like that, you know, as a role player, maybe he can step up from time to time. How big of a loss would Kincaid be versus Cooper and the rest of the supporting cast with Josh Allen? How much faith will you have they could do it against this Chiefs defense?
Yeah, those are notable losses, knowing that you're already without Coleman. So you'd love to get one of Kincaid or Cooper if possible. But it is nice to know that Mac Hollins has been really good, 9 targets over the last 2 games. He's caught all 9 of them. He was the only guy that had any offensive yards on the game-winning drive against Miami. Of course, stepping up in some big spots last week against the Colts. Shakir obviously kind of is what he is in the slot. That's a helpful piece to the offense. You know, ideally, they could get something a little bit more out of Curtis Samuel if they have to go without Cooper. He played a lot of snaps against the Colts. He's really not uncovering, right? It's one good situation where he was able to beat the zone down the field with good route concepts, and that was a nice play. And the other times have been just kind of taking advantage of free access. Can he win a route? You know, that would be nice to see. I think that would be helpful. It's certainly challenging, but I think with playing against Kansas City, you know, they do dare you to be patient. And I thought Josh Allen played the exact game he needed to. Last time in the playoffs, where it was a lot of short throws and kind of picking his spots down the field and keeping things on schedule. I think he'll have to do that again against them this time around. And, it's going to be tough. I mean, if they do have Kincaid or Cooper, you know that they're not 100%. So it's a big ask. But, I mean, Mahomes is without his guys too, right? Rasheed Rice is not available. Worthy's not available. Pacheco, they've opened his window, but I don't know if he's going to go this week. So both teams got some injuries on the offensive side of the football.
I would say Kelce, like early in the year, Travis Kelce, there was a conversation, you know, is he done for? Has he hit the wall? And reports of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. Like he has, in the last month or so, really come on. And, you know, Joe, we talk about these matchups. One that consistently, Tyreek Hill never really gets off on the Bills in the regular season. Kelce does have his games against this McDermott defense.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of him and Mahomes where Kelce's such a unique player where he doesn't really just go out there and run routes. What he does is he finds space. And his ability to find space and really just read defenses on the fly and make himself available, coupled with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes that's very good in terms of seeing the field but also pocket movement to buy a little extra space, and they have great chemistry. And so it's just very difficult to defend. I mean, nobody's got the answer to this. That's why I go back to the front. Like, how do you take advantage of not allowing that to happen? I think you have to be able to heat up Patrick Mahomes and not allow him to find that extra space and not allow him to move within the pocket and get the ball to Kelce, because nobody's able to figure this equation out. And I, you know, talk about jamming him at the line. Okay. I mean, Kelce's one of the most physically dominant tight ends the league has ever seen. He's probably going to run you over and make it even more difficult. So I think it starts up front. That's why I keep going back to it. How do you erase some of these concerns and how he can beat you with instincts and vision? Well, you got to get to him, and I think that's what it comes down to in this one.
How do you feel like Matt Milano's practice window opened up this week? So his return is inevitable, it looks like, in the next month.
Yeah.
Dorian Williams will play this game at least. I know we talked about him earlier in the year, and it was going well. Is that still going well to you, or is he someone that you could see the Chiefs really targeting this week in the second level?
Oh, Dorian Williams has he's progressed a lot in coverage. He's still not a good coverage player. You know, I think that this is definitely a situation where the Kansas City Chiefs are thinking, how do we put him in conflict and how do we take advantage with misdirection, with busting zones and making him make choices to squeeze a route and pass it off and do that with good timing, right? That's not really where he finds a lot of success. I'm sure that's a big part of what's on the menu for Kansas City this week, and the Bills know that. They got to figure out how to scheme around that. They play a lot of dime. The Bills are playing the most dime of any team in the league, right? They put Cam Lewis in as that extra defensive back, and they dropped Dorian Williams, so I think you'll see some of that. But maybe some of the answer there is having some man coverage reps with Dorian Williams on Travis Kelce, because, I mean, from a physical matchup, you know, Williams has got the speed and athleticism to kind of do it, but when you start asking Dorian Williams to zone drop and he's got a lot of things flashing in front of his face and he's got to make decisions, it gets a little rough. And surely Andy Reid's going to be well aware of that and try to do his best to take advantage.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Enjoy the game. We talk every Wednesday with Joe. You can find the Locked On Bills podcast. He does the All-22 review, wherever you get your podcasts. Also does Locked On NFL Scouting. Both great listens. So be sure to subscribe to both of those. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR. When we return, Joe, I have the ultimate shutdown response to the person in your life that says, no, 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 this game doesn't mean anything to me. This game doesn't mean anything. Which I'm hearing way too much of. The ultimate shutdown response to that, next.
Caller 5 right now at 716-2214-WGR. Wins a combo ticket to the Total Sports Public Autograph Signing on November 16th at TSC Buffalo in Orchard Park. This combo ticket gives you the opportunity to get an autographed item by Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Shane Conlon, and Ruben Brown. You can bring your own item or purchase an item at the event. Visit TSCBuffalo.com for other ticket options and details.
Carrington Harrison on the Chiefs coming up next segment. All right, let's play out a scene.
Okay.
You be the person at my tailgate telling me why the game doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Well, Jeremy, this game means nothing. One seeds, they're not going to catch them for the one seed. The division's already wrapped up.
Means nothing.
Playoffs. I only care about what they do against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
This game means nothing to you.
Sure. Yeah.
So sit Josh.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa.
I'm not going to do that.
If the game means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of activity out there. Oh, it means nothing. This game is nothing. I don't even care. Okay, then sit the quarterback. Sit him. Let CBS know. Let him flex it out real quick. It means nothing.
What a move that would be.
It might be the most watched game in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
I mean, email just came in my inbox just now about this exact idea that, you know what, from Sports Business Journal, where it's come from, it might be the most watched game of the year. They're thinking it can rival Ravens Chiefs, which was the opener. They're sending the crew here.
How
like
mad?
As Sal said.
How mad would the NFL be?
Like 30 million people are going to watch it. Oh, it doesn't mean anything. Wow, this Jim Nance and Romo. Tony, I got to be honest, the crowd's kind of quiet. Well, Jim, they've all decided it doesn't mean anything. Bunch of nonsense.
Can it mean nothing and also feel like it's going to mean something?
Listen, it doesn't have to tell the story of the season.
Well, it's definitely not.
No.
It's 100% not.
Right, which is true of every game, pretty much, once you're this good like the Bills are. But if you're trying to tell anybody out there it doesn't matter, I don't believe you. And I don't know who believes you, but I don't believe you for a second if you say this game does not matter.
Well, there is a chance. If they ended up getting the one seed, that would include this win, and then it would be meaningful. Like, what if you won the one seed and you didn't have to play Kansas City in the playoffs? This game would become meaningful. It wouldn't be treated like a playoff win, but the result would almost be, hey, that win allowed you to not have to play Kansas City.
Sure.
If you got a result like that, then the game would, looking back, be very meaningful.
There's that. How about this, too? You know, the Chiefs, if they win, will all but clinch the one seed. They could take like a month off.
Right.
I mean, they might be pushing for a perfect season, which I think would be a mistake for them. But if they win today, what if I was to tell you, oh, this means the Chiefs will have to play all the way to week 18 to get that one seed. Because if they slip once, they fall out of that spot. The Bills win on Sunday. Now you're watching the Chiefs the following week against Carolina. Okay. But every week we're watching to see if they make a slip. One slip. And that's it. 803-0550. Hopefully the Lions decide their game against the Bills doesn't matter. Because, you know, they might already be in line for a one seed there too. Anyway, forget that. It's a big game. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Chiefs. Let's get it rolling. It is that time. Carrington Harrison, we have him on every time the Chiefs are on. We're going to talk about Mahomes' season, the Chiefs' season, undefeated, 9-0, ninth in point differential. Nobody's impressed. But, of course, they're right there like they always are. So stay tuned. Carrington Harrison gives us the Kansas City side of this story and their pursuit of a third Super Bowl and a perfect season as we continue here on a Wednesday on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.